Good morning.
Good morning.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. I went to a good primary school. What's 50 got to do with anything? Well, today is Pentecost. Pentecost, Pente, 50. 50 days since the resurrection. For the Jews, 50 days after the Passover festival, they could refer to as, now I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Shavuot, and that is at this time. I mentioned it the other day when they were talking on television about what's going on in Palestine. For Christians, it's about the coming of the Holy Spirit to indwell in each and every one of us. I'm just going to read briefly from John. This is on page 1082 in your Bible. It's John chapter 14. And it's where Jesus was telling the disciples about the Holy Spirit. Because, of course, Jesus was going to tell them, I'm going to be leaving you soon. He knows what's going to happen. And, of course, the disciples found this all a bit, you know, can't get their heads around all of this. But he tells them what's going to happen. So, John 14, verse 15 to 18. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And then moving on to verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. There's a warning, Jesus telling his disciples that the Holy Spirit will come. We're going to sing now hymn number 89. Come down, O love divine, seek thou this soul of mine. The next reading can be found in your Bibles on page 1093. It's taken from Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 to 12. Page 1093. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" In Acts 1, chapter 1, Luke is referring to verse 4, refers to what has happened before this. And he talks about how when the disciples were told, "Don't leave Jerusalem, wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." And in verse 9, it says, "After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight." Of course, that's referring to ascension. Jesus' ascension to heaven. And that happened about 10 days or so before this event that we've just been reading about. They're going to receive power. The Spirit is going to come to them. And they begin to speak the tongues of fire around them. After that little section, of course, two angels came and said to them, "Jesus will come back the way he left." Pentecost, then, the day the Holy Spirit of God came to indwell in the followers of Jesus. There were about 120 of them at that time. The violent wind, the tongues of fire resting on them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, it describes all these people, these visitors, because they were all there for the Shavuot festival. And they hear these languages. There have been cases, haven't there, more modern context, where someone has spoken in tongues and someone nearby happened to know what they were talking about, because they knew that was their language. There have been examples of this, But it sounds to us a little bit, you know, that we would suddenly be able to speak in tongues. And there are some churches who do believe in this, and do, and there are people who believe they can do this, speak in tongues in this way. But this big commotion, of course, Paul, going on in Acts in that chapter, then goes on to address the crowd. And as a result of him addressing the crowd, 3,000 people, we're told, were converted on that day. Now, as I've already mentioned, this Pentecost has existed for the Jews for about 1,500 years. And it's to commemorate the giving of the Torah by God to Moses. And they commemorate it at this particular time. And this festival, Shavuot, is where they, it's like a wheat harvest thing. They give the new grain of that year, and they have a sacred assembly, and afterwards they do no regular work. And this is referred to in Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 28, verse 26. Now, the grain that they give represents the idea of the first fruits of the harvest. And of course, Paul was to use this first fruits idea a bit later in Galatians 5:22, where he describes the fruits of the Spirit. So it's an interesting, isn't it? And some theologians have noticed how it just can't be a coincidence, can it? That somehow, you know, Passover and Pentecost, the Shavuot festivals for the Jews, and then Christ's resurrection at the time of the Passover, and then we have our Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit at the time of this Jewish festival. So it's, we supersede, if you like, the Jewish festivals. Of course, the Jews still follow those festivals. But it's important that this Holy Spirit comes to us. Now, connected with this, I was reminded that we always used to go on about Whitsun. This is always referred to as Whitsun. I thought, well, what's Whitsun got to? I was looking at this. Well, anyway, Whitsun was this idea of this time for the Jews and also for the Christians became a festival, a holiday, if you like. We sort of used to talk about Whit Monday, Whit holidays, a vacation week. And if you go back in history, back to medieval times, whatever, the serfs or the slaves of the time working for the lord of the manor or whatever always got a week off. It's always been a time where take a week off work. And then it was, of course, it was reduced just to the Monday, Whit Monday, as a holiday, as a day after Pentecost. And then, of course, the Whit holiday disappeared in 1972, apparently, when it was changed to Spring Bank Holiday, which is what I think we refer to it now. And of course, in this part of the world, Northwest England, there used to be Whit walks, walking days. When I met people around different parts of the country and I talk about walking days and things, they don't know what you're talking about. They don't do that. What walking days? What's all that about? No, Warrington Walking Day. If you told that to somebody in another part of the country, that idea, it's an alien idea. It also led on to the development of Morris dancing in Cambridgeshire. Anyway, the next hymn is 1004, the God of Burning Cleansing Flame, Send the Fire, reference to what we've been reading about. This was written by William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army. And hopefully we've got Salvation Army version. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, fill us at this time with the fruits of the Holy Spirit, as described by Paul in Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. May the gifts of the Holy Spirit bring fire to the earth, so that the presence of God may be seen in a new light, in new places, in new ways. May our hearts burst into flame so that no obstacle, no matter how great, ever obstructs the message of the God within each of us. May we come to trust the word of God in our heart, to speak it with courage, to follow it faithfully, and to fan it to flame in others. Holy One, when Christ ascended into heaven to reign with you in power and glory, you sent the Spirit of truth to guide us into the way, the truth, and the life of Christ. Let your Spirit, our advocate, guide us still, preserving us from judgment, protecting us from sin, and leading us into righteousness, so that we may testify to the good news, fullness of life and joy for all, through Jesus Christ our Saviour, and in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and Our next hymn is number 67, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit is in each and every one of us. Guess we wouldn't be here, would we? We didn't. The Spirit, or awareness of God, dwells in our hearts and in our minds. It could be on pilot light some of the time. And then, you know, like your boiler. I've been having some trouble with my boiler this week. But you know when you turn it on and then all the lights come on? Yeah? And it must be like that, isn't it? I find it like that. There are times when I feel that the Spirit is strong within me. And the flames come on like the boiler. And maybe other times, the light's still there, ready for the flames to come on. And the Spirit is manifesting all sorts of things that we might do, how we behave, how we conduct ourselves. It can be brought on by prayer or from being here. But it should be something that we take with us through all of our days, each day. We're aware of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there and it's influencing us. And it comes, those lights come on and the flame fans upwards at certain points. Maybe all more time. And the more you immerse yourself, the more you read the Bible, the more you surround yourself with, or maybe with other people sometimes. You learn from other people and other models, role models, and you build the Spirit. But it's important, it's vital, and it's what is in us as we go forward through life. For some people, some churches, it's manifesting very lively services to demonstrate the Spirit. Pentecostal church. You lots of singing, lots of, I know some people might call it happy clappy or jumping around or going crazy. Well, we might say that, but it's still the Spirit. I mean, we all have different personalities, don't we? But the Spirit can be, the flame of the Spirit can come alive in all sorts of ways. It doesn't have to be jumping up and down. Somebody could present the Spirit to other people in all sorts of ways, through giving, through helping, through supporting, or just praying with somebody. It doesn't have to be jumping up and down with your hands in the air. But it could be. It could be. There's nothing wrong, for me anyway, there's nothing wrong with that. And it certainly demonstrates the Spirit in a pretty obvious way. So what does the Holy Spirit do? That's a question. I've been talking about the Holy Spirit coming to earth, the Holy Spirit being within each and every one of us. But what does it do according to the Bible? Right, number one, it regenerates us. John 3, verses 6 to 7. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Born again, Jesus explains to Nicodemus. Born again in the Spirit to enter heaven. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Be born again. Regeneration. The Holy Spirit keeps regenerating. It's a bit like that pilot light coming on. It's always doing that, constantly. What else does it do? All right. Well, it convicts us of sin. John 16, verse 8. When he, the Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. So the Spirit, in our minds, we're aware, aren't we, of what we're doing, what we're saying, whether it's right, whether it's wrong, whether we should be doing something different. It talks to us. But it tells us as well when we've got something wrong and we need to pray for forgiveness and for God's mercy and his grace. Number three, it empowers us with gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 7. We can only recognize Jesus as our Lord, quote, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, service, and working, but God works these through us. And this Spirit, the Spirit gives these gifts to us for the common good, for all people. What sort of things? Well, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, maybe. Prophecy. Distinguishing between spirits. Speaking in tongues. Interpretation of those tongues. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. And the Spirit decides what he gives to each and every one of us. The Spirit might not give all of us all of those things. But he'll give us certainly degrees of some of them, maybe quite a lot of them. But that is, the Spirit provides those to each and every one of us. Number four, he testifies that we are God's children. The Holy Spirit testifies we are God's children. Galatians 4, verse 6. God put the Spirit in our hearts, and that is why we are his children. We're an heir to God's kingdom. So we have a special identity the Holy Spirit gives us. We're children of God. We have this special identity. And the Holy Spirit gives us that. The Holy Spirit also, number five, leads us. Galatians 5, 16 to 18. When we are sinful, we are contrary to the Holy Spirit. If we are led by the Spirit, we are following God. So the Holy Spirit leads us along, is with us, guides us, takes us through whatever trials, whatever tribulations, whatever comes before us. And the Holy Spirit also makes us fruitful in that we demonstrate particular qualities towards others. Galatians 5, 22, 23, the fruits of the Holy, from the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These wipe out sin. They remove sin. Those things, patience, peace, joy, love, if we're demonstrating those, the Holy Spirit works through us. And we're demonstrating those, sin is washed, is put to the side. Number seven, the Holy Spirit grants and nurtures in us the resurrection life. Romans 8, 11. The idea is that if we're not controlled by the sinful nature, so if we're not sinful and God comes to us, then God lives in us. We need this to belong to Christ. We're alive in the Spirit and we're righteous. So if God raised Jesus to life everlasting, then he will, through the Spirit, do the same for us. So it is through the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit that we will aspire to resurrection, our own, and follow that life and that example. Number eight, the Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know what to pray. And there are moments like that, aren't there, sometimes? You're not sure what to say to God. You pray to God and you're kind of, not sure. And the Spirit will intercede for us, tells us Romans 8, 26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. He intercedes and expresses our groans, to use a phrase that's from the Bible. Those things which trouble us, which are disturbing, which we're not comfortable about, which we have to endure. God will search our hearts and find that the Spirit argues for us. The Spirit represents us to God. The Spirit guides us into truth. John 16:13. Jesus explained how the Spirit will take from Jesus and the Father and make it known to humans. The Holy Spirit is always working, he's always providing that knowledge and also presenting it to people perhaps who have not found God. The Spirit will guide the people in what is the truth. And lastly, the Spirit transforms us into the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The Spirit transforms us with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord and Spirit. The Spirit gives us the freedom in Christ and takes us away from the sin of the world. The Spirit takes what is there in the Bible that we read, that we learn, and transforms it and makes it into a reality and into something that we can experience. It's one thing to hear that God loves you. It's another thing to feel his love. This is the glorious work of the Spirit. When Jesus goes away, referring to earlier, John 16, the Spirit will come and he will fill their hearts with joy. Jesus will go up to heaven, but there is no need to feel sorrow because the Holy Spirit has come down at Pentecost and dwells amongst us. 1 Corinthians 2:12, Paul says that the Spirit has been given to us so that we might know, way down deep inside, the endless grace of God. The Spirit awakens in us an awareness of what God has given us. The Spirit has done that probably thousands, possibly even millions of times to each and every one of us. We're made aware through the Spirit that God is with us. So pray to God. Read the Bible. Think about what the Bible says. And experience and practice God's word on a daily basis. Because then the Spirit, the flame is there. And the flame rises. Love others. I know it's difficult sometimes. But give love and kindness to other people. Pray for forgiveness and forgive others. From the Spirit, do whatever you can for other people. And it's back to that word, regeneration. The Spirit regenerates us as we go from day to day. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. We pray at this time, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will provide wisdom to the leaders in Israel and Palestine in order to bring about a peace, mutual respect, and fairness in that part of the world. We pray also, Lord, for India and those areas of the world badly afflicted by the pandemic, to the people there and their suffering. May your Holy Spirit bring a solution to the disease and comfort and heal and healing to those affected. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will revive us and all the churches at this time in our own country. We pray that your love and guidance will prevail against those people whose priorities are different to ours. Bless those who are penitent and who seek your forgiveness and hope. We pray for our own church and that your Spirit will continue to foster our belief, our unity, our love and respect for each other. We thank you, Lord, for all that we receive from you. And we ask you, Lord, to bless those gifts we have given to you from what we have and that we have given to the work of your church. And we bring before you, Lord, at this time, those known to us who are ill or sick or worried or in despair, those who are in hospital. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will dwell with each and every one of them and bring peace. And we bring before you, Lord, our own personal prayers and thoughts at this time. Be with us now and always. Amen. Our final hymn today is 1183. Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God. So you've noticed all the hymns today are on our topic of the Pentecost and the Holy Spirit. 1183.
Give me faith on our calendar.
Thank you, Lord, for that hymn and the words of that hymn, which reflect, Lord, so much of what we've been thinking about today, Lord. Lord God, through Christ you've given us peace. Peace that the world cannot give. Let your Spirit of truth abide with us, so that we may live in hope, grow in faith, and keep your commandments of love. In the name of Jesus Christ. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. May the gifts of your Spirit be our goal and our strength, now and always. Amen.